Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much in that for that, Hugh. Staff at the University of Limerick have been told that the college is entering a period of extreme oversight by the Higher Education Authority, during which time it will not have full autonomy. Referring to the purchase of 20 houses at a grossly inflated price of more than 11 million euro that left the university with a 5 million deficit, UL Chancellor Bridget Laffan said that the fact that this happened after a previous overspend on the former Dunn Store site in Limerick City was completely shocking and alarming, in her words. Well, to discuss this further, I'm joined by Niall Collins, who's Fianna Fáil TD for Limerick County and Minister of State at the Department of Further and Higher Education. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme. An awful lot of people will be asking themselves, how do you buy a house, 20 houses, and lose 5 million euro or overspend by 5 million euro? And I know there are investigations, but can I ask you, as a local TD in Limerick, when did you first become aware that UL was purchasing 20 houses for more than 11 million euro?
Yeah, good evening, Cormac. It's certainly not a good look. I would agree with what Bridget Laffan has said there, where you're quoting her. It's just really not acceptable that we find ourselves in this space, particularly coming on the foot or coming after a previous issue in relation to a property transaction around what's known locally as the Dunn Stores City Centre building.
On which 3 million was lost, isn't that right?
Yes, yeah. So basically, the University of Limerick.
This purchase of 20 houses, it happened in 2022, isn't that correct?
I'm not exactly sure the timeline, but it has been playing out on the local media for a number of months.
When did you first become aware of it?
A number of months ago. It began to be reported in local media that there were issues around. It initially started as a stamp duty issue. Mm-hmm. Then there was a planning issue, and then, of course, there's a third dimension to it now in terms of the valuation.
Okay. Would you have become aware as a local, because you're in a unique position here as a local TD and a Minister of State in the relevant department? So, would it have been last summer?
I can't exactly recall, and I think it's just important to say that universities. Under the Universities Act, they're autonomous, meaning that their governance and their performance are a matter for their own governing authority and their management. And by way of legislation, the Higher Education Authority then has increased powers under the recent updated legislation, which empowers and enables the Higher Education Authority. It has stronger powers in terms of oversight where issues or matters arise. So the universities, they protect and guard their independence. They're very precious about that, and that is right, and mm-hmm. that has been the way for a long number of years. So,
but who's protecting the taxpayer, I suppose, is a question here, because UL received, I think, last year about 40 million euro, you can correct me if I'm wrong, in terms of taxpayer funding. When did you become aware of the overspend then?
Yeah, so it's still playing out. We're not exactly aware what the entire overspend is going to be. Whilst I'm explaining to you and your listeners the structures under the Universities Act in terms of they being autonomous mm-hmm. and they're responsible to their governing authority, the president is responsible to the governing authority. They run independently. At the same time, they have to comply with Department of Public Expenditure spending codes and guidelines, general government circulars, and of course the chief accounting officer, who's the president in this instance of the university, is accountable to the Oireachtas and appears before Oireachtas committees. So that's the various levels of oversight. I think what we need to hear.
The president of UL, in fairness, we have to say, is on sick leave as of yesterday. You're saying
correct.
That the overspend could be higher. We're not sure yet.
I'm not in possession of all the facts yet. No more than anybody else outside of the governing authority. And the governing authority are meeting at the moment. I do know, because I had occasion to be at the university last Friday. There was an event where Geoffrey Donaldson, the leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, was present to have an engagement in relation to the peace process. And I met with the new Chancellor, Bridget Laffin, on the margins of that. And we obviously discussed this issue around the Ray Bogue, transaction, we shall call it. And look, I mean, I want to say this. I'm very confident that Bridget Laffin is very, very serious in terms of addressing this in the shortest possible time frame.
But it's how we got to this. It's how we got to this point.
Absolutely.
Especially when there were previous questions about another significant financial loss in 2019, as you pointed to. The question that I suppose that people will be asking is, how can any organisation so dependent on state funding, let alone in a sector which says it's underfunded already, be allowed to overspend by about 5 million euro on 20 houses without it being checked or endorsed or accounted for by an independent authority? I mean, were the checks and balances, the spending codes that you referred to, were they adhered to, do we know, in this situation?
Well, that's what we need to find out. And that's exactly what Bridget Laffin is doing. She appointed an independent person to compile a report for her. That report is being discussed right now as we speak, because there's a meeting of the governing authority underway. And also the Higher Education Authority have engaged with the university in relation to all of this since they became aware of it, and they will be carrying out their own review and investigation into this.
But should they not have had oversight of it initially?
Excuse me?
Should they not have had, the governing authority and the HEA, should they not have had oversight of this process?
Well, absolutely, the governing authority should have had oversight of
this. So they're reviewing
process.
What they should have been doing, is that right?
So my understanding is that the Chancellor is presenting to the governing authority as we speak an independent report on the transaction. And basically, I assume it's addressing how this transaction got through the various internal control procedures and checks and balances mm-hmm. that should be in place within the university.
But can I ask you this? How can it be an independent report if they should have been overseeing this already?
Because she has asked, it's my understanding, Bridget Laffin has commissioned somebody from outside of the organisation, a retired senior civil servant, to come in and prepare a report.
So should the department commission themselves, as opposed to the governing authority commissioning it, an independent?
Well, the HEA will be doing that. The HEA, that is the remit of the HEA.
My question is, should the HSEA, just to be clear on this, should the HEA not have had oversight as well, no?
Well, the HEA don't have oversight of every single transaction that every single institution or university oversees. The HEA has a role in terms of ensuring that governing authorities act responsibly and, you know, have proper procedures there to approve major capital projects.
But this is a university that was on the radar already since 2019 for a financial overspend.
And the HEA has been engaging in relation to the Dun Stores issue.
Okay, so it was on the radar of the HEA.
The Dun Stores, the previous transaction, the Dun Stores.
So my question is this. The governing authority, you're telling us, should have had oversight of the spending within the university because of previous events. And you're also telling us that the HEA, that UL, was on their radar as well. So I just wonder, should this not have been elevated to your department, to you and Minister Simon Harris?
Well, under the Act, and we have to comply within the law, that is the remit and the function of the Higher Education Authority. And I just further want to make the point to our listeners that the previous transaction, which is the Dun Stores site, is subject to a number of High Court challenges. That has proven to be a difficulty particularly for the university and for the Public Accounts Committee mm-hmm. when the university was appearing before the Public Accounts Committee.
Are you saying you have no political responsibility here?
What I'm trying to detail to you is that the structures within the sector for the oversight of our universities who are independent. The Higher Education Authority, we updated and made more robust the legislation by virtue of the Higher Education Authority Act of 2022. And I think we need to allow the process that's being undertaken by Bridget Laffin
I think valid questions in terms of that process. But can I ask you this? In a situation where there is potentially an 8 million overspend in the last 5 years, at what point does it become the department's responsibility?
Well, the department continually, our department is continually in communication with the Higher Education Authority. Of course we are.
Okay, so you were told about this.
The department is absolutely aware of everything that's going on in terms of our communications with the Higher Education Authority. So we have to allow processes, Cormac, to play out.
When did the HEA tell you about this overspend?
I don't have the exact dates in relation to that, but Neil,
just in case there's any confusion about this 5 million potential overspend. When were you told about that by the HEA?
I don't deal directly with the HEA. The HEA deal directly with our department.
So with with the senior minister Simon Harris?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So do you know when Minister Simon Harris was informed?
I don't, unfortunately. But what I want to say is this, it's important that we allow Bridget Laffin to do her work. She has prepared an independent report in a very short period of time. The HEA, she is working closely, obviously, with the HEA in relation to that. And she has assured me in the conversations that I had with her that she wants to get all of the information out into the public domain and rectify the issues which occurred, which allowed this transaction to get through the internal checks and balances. And I think it's important, and I want to reassure people, because the University of Limerick is hugely important to Limerick and to the wider Midwest. It's one of the largest employers. Mm. It's one of the real positives that we have in the region, that we will work through this and ensure that both the reputation and the corporate governance structures within the University of Limerick are as robust as they need to be going forward.
Can I ask you, what will the Public Accounts Committee do, or will it take place, that meeting next month, if the president of UL, Kirsten May, cannot attend? She's out sick.
Yeah, well, I don't speak for the Public Accounts Committee. I'm not a member of it. And that's something which will have to be worked out between the Public Accounts Committee and the University of Limerick. But I would imagine, and I've no reason to think otherwise, that as soon as either the president, Kirsten May, is available, or if she's not available, that the university will make arrangements to present itself before the Public Accounts Committee in the shortest possible time frame. Okay. I don't think there's an issue in relation to that. That's the sense that I get from Bridget Laffin, that she absolutely wants to be as open and as transparent about this, the Ray Bogue transaction. There is issues with the previous transaction because it's subject to a High Court challenge, and that is something which is hugely frustrating for all of us as public representatives, Public Accounts Committee.
Can I ask you, Minister, one final question on another matter entirely within your own constituency as well, though, because over 130 patients are reported to be on trolleys at University Hospital Limerick. Now, there was a motion at Limerick County Council for the government to allocate extra funding for UHL, as well as create a task force to create the hospitals to address the hospital's issues. What can be done, in your opinion, to alleviate pressures there?
Well, we've discussed this previously. The government has been absolutely committed since we took office in 2020 to increase the capacity and the resources to the UHL group. That's something which we have been delivering on. It does take a period of time, as everybody appreciates, to particularly build extra bed capacity. That is the issue. I think, unfortunately, some of the awful cases and circumstances that we're hearing about in the media, which are playing out by virtues of reportage of coroner's courts and other circumstances, point to the fact that we have to increase the bed capacity at UHL. So that is underway. About 130 beds have been added to UHL since 2020. There's also a 96 bed block unit under construction, and a further additional 96 bed block unit also in planning. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we've increased the staff complement from a figure of about 3,000 to just under 4,000.
Okay, but and it's still a really difficult situation in the hospital, but you say it's being addressed. We'll leave it there for the moment. Minister of State at the Department of Further and Higher Education, Niall Collins, thank you.